This morning we want to study some more about Esau and Jacob, the two sons of Isaac, those twins that were born to him and to his wife Rebekah. And God made a choice between the two that he would bring the blessings that he had promised to Abraham and to Isaac, that he was going to fulfill those blessings and through Jacob, not through Esau, as the choice that God made. And then later, those two brothers became the fathers of many tribes, of nations, two nations, Israel and Edom. And then Edom descended into wickedness and maintained a hatred for their brother Jacob that had its roots back in the book of Genesis with the choice that God had made, as it was manifest when Esau sold his birthright to his brother Jacob, and then Jacob inherited, received the blessing from his father Isaac, that Isaac was going to give to his firstborn Esau. So Jacob got the birthright and the blessing, which were that was the seed or the root for much bitterness and conflict that was going to take place between those two, the descendants of those two brothers, those nations, Israel and Edom. So we want to spend this morning looking at the birthright and the blessing that Jacob got over his brother Esau. And what choice God was making in that, and how that is manifest by God's work, and what that teaches about the work of God. Because in all of this, we see this is God's will and God's work, and God was making His plans come to pass, and we can see that in all of these situations. So it teaches us much about the work of God. And much of it would end up having its fulfillment to come over the course of many generations into the future, from when we first start reading about this in Genesis 25, when Jacob and Esau were conceived in Rebekah's womb. And so in Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 26, we find the occasion when Jacob and Esau were conceived, and then when they were born. Genesis 25, verses 21 through 26, it says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Now we're seeing a continuation of a pattern that we saw also in Isaac's father Abraham with his wife Sarah, who had been barren, and then God opened her womb and she gave birth to Isaac. So was Isaac aware of the fact that God had power to open the womb of the barren? Well, he was the product of that. So he's asking the Lord to do with his wife the very thing that God had done with his own mother. Which explains his own existence here from that standpoint. So he was asking the Lord to open Rebekah's womb, and it tells us that the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her. Now there's plural here, children, as she's bearing twins. Now that didn't happen, of course, when Isaac was born. He was the one son given to Sarah by Abraham. And so then here it tells us that the children struggled together within her. Now, at this moment, does she recognize or understand that she's got twins in her womb? Well, the Lord's going to tell her. And she said, when this struggle was going on, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now here was God answering Rebecca and explaining to her what was going on within her. So there was a great struggle that was there. So the struggle between Jacob and Esau, between Israel and Edom, this was a struggle that had its origins in Rebecca's own womb when they were conceived. And it continued from there. So she was not having what would have been recognized as any kind of a normal pregnancy. And she saw that there was something very strange or different about this. Now she has the answer. And as we noted last week when we had a glimpse of this, clearly from the Lord's standpoint, those children in the womb, they are, well, not just children themselves, but they are those individual people created in the image of God, and they also are a reflection of what and contain all that God has planned and in store for them and the descendants that will come through them. As God identifies them not only as, well, these are two individuals, two separate individuals, two people in her womb, they are, but he says to her that she had two nations in her womb and two manner of people. So they were two nations and they were different. And they clearly were, not just in their physical characteristics, but in their spiritual characteristics. And God also let her know what his plan was. He expressed it to her that the one people would be stronger than the other, and the elder will serve the younger. Now, the fact that with her having two children, God had made the promise to Abraham and to Isaac that he was going to make a great nation of them and of their descendants. Well, as it was with Abraham, he first had a son, Ishmael, by Sarah's handmaid Hagar that she gave to him for a wife. Then God made it clear that what he was promising was going to come from Abraham through his wife Sarah. And that's when he gave them Isaac. But Ishmael was born first. Well, God was not going to be able to fulfill his promises about what he was going to do in making not just a great nation, because he did make a great nation of Ishmael, as we saw. But God was choosing one and was going to give the land of Canaan to one. And then he was going to bring his son to bless all nations of men through one. He wasn't going to be able to do that through Ishmael and through Isaac. I mean, Jesus could not be a descendant of both of them. The land of Canaan was not going to be given to both of them, but one of them. So God made the choice for his blessings to come through Isaac over Ishmael. Did that mean that Ishmael could not be righteous and that Ishmael couldn't serve God and do his will? No, it didn't mean that. It meant that God had made a choice and that he was going to bring those blessings through one over the other. Now, it turned out that Isaac was the younger. Now, when God made the promise to Rebekah here and expressed his plans, one of these would have to be stronger than the other. All of those promises that God made were going to have to come through one of these twins, not both. God was going to have to make the choice, and now he says he's choosing, in this case, it was going to be that he would bless the younger, and the elder would serve the younger. So God was going to choose the birth order here, and he was going to make his blessings to be given to the younger of the twins when they were born. So Rebecca hears these words from God. She understands that plan that God has. So in verse 24, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So they had struggled in the womb, and now they struggle on the way out being born, and Jacob grabs his brother's heel. The struggle is right there, continuing from that first moment. And What's going to happen from here? Well, not only is the struggle going to continue, but there's going to be enmity that's going to result from it. But God had chosen that and told Rebekah that the elder would serve the younger. Now, who's the firstborn? It's Esau. So who's going to serve whom? Who will God bring the blessings that he had promised to Abraham and to Isaac through? It would come through Jacob, not Esau. That was God's choice. Now, again, did that mean that Esau could not be righteous? Since not receiving the land of Canaan and not being the one through whom God was going to bring his son Jesus Christ, did that prohibit Esau from serving the Lord? When God makes a choice like this, does that mean that whoever isn't going to receive a particular blessing can't be righteous and can't do the will of God? Well, we have an example when David was chosen by God to be the next king of Israel instead of Saul. Well, that was a choice that God had made. And of course, actually, when we go back to the prophecies from Jacob in the book of Genesis, in Genesis 49, we know that God had made the determination and then foretold that the rulership of his people would be in the tribe of Judah. And so Judah was going to be the royal tribe, and that would be the tribe that God was going to bring his son through. So not only is this true that God had to make the choice of between Isaac and Ishmael and chose Isaac, and had to make the choice between Jacob and Esau and chose Jacob, well, Jacob, of course, would have 12 sons, and God was going to have to choose one of those 12 to bring his son Jesus Christ through, and he chose Judah for that. Did that mean that nobody else, if you don't get a particular blessing from God, and we all receive blessings from God, many of them, do we all get the same things, or does God give each one of us blessings that not necessarily everybody else is going to have the same blessings? Well, God makes his choices, and he gives us all blessings. What is our responsibility? Well, as he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it is required that a steward be found faithful before God. And we are all stewards. What we're going to be held accountable for is what kind of steward are we. Are we faithful in using what God does bless us with? When David was born, fulfilling God's plans in making him king and to bring Christ through him, well, that meant that the house of Saul, who was of the tribe of Benjamin, was not going to continue as the royal house in Israel. The scepter was not going to be in the tribe of Benjamin and not depart from it. It did depart from it after one king, after Saul. Well, who did that mean wasn't going to be king then? Jonathan, Saul's firstborn. Well, when David was chosen by God to be king instead of Jonathan, did that mean Jonathan couldn't serve the Lord? What do we know about Jonathan's life? He was one of the most righteous men that ever lived. His heart was knit together with David in their faith in God and their obedience to him. And Jonathan supported and encouraged David, understanding what God's choice was, understanding what his will was, and he followed that through and encouraged David in his service to God through the rest of his days. That's what we see in Jonathan, and the fact that he couldn't be king didn't have anything to do with whether he could go to heaven or not, did it? God choosing to give a certain blessing to one over another, that is not God choosing that whoever he doesn't give a blessing to, meaning that they can't be a faithful and righteous servant of the Lord. We all have to choose to serve God with whatever God does give to us. And if we're not given something that somebody else is, I mean, should we be filled with envy and jealousy and anger and then choose that we're going to reject God because God didn't give us something that he gave to somebody else? That's where we are not in the position as the clay to question and judge the potter who's made the clay. God has made us all, and he's given us all certain blessings, and we need to be thankful to him for whatever he gives us and use it to serve him as faithful stewards, as the Lord tells us to. And we have good examples of that. Now, in the case of Esau, he's not going to have a good response to being the one that God hasn't chosen for these particular blessings. So we see the circumstances of their birth. Now after this, in verses 27 through 34, in Genesis chapter 25, says the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He counted it as nothing. I mean, he gave it away just for a morsel of food. Now, what was the birthright that we read about here? And it's interesting, the word Bekorah is the Hebrew word, and it's 1062 is the Strong's number for it, if you just want to have that for your notes. It literally means the firstling of man or beast. And when we read the word firstling in the Old Testament, that's usually the word that we find there, whether it's talking about the firstling of a flock or the firstborn of man. That's what the word means. Now, it is used on a handful of occasions to refer to the firstborn and what God had determined of the firstborn of his people and the blessings that would come through that. There was a God-given position and blessing as the firstborn. As we see, God was the one that determined. He's the one that's created. He's created all of us. He created Jacob and Esau, and he created them and put them in Rebekah's womb at the same time. And then God decided which of the two would be born first. And God had made a determination of what blessing he was going to give to Jacob over Esau. Those were all things according to God's plans that he had made. But God was the one that did that. And so being the firstborn was a God-given position and a blessing. Now, to understand it from God's standpoint and what this meant, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21, and we read there verses 15 through 17. Here's God is doing some teaching here on a couple of subjects, but we'll certainly see the application as it pertains to the birthright of the firstborn. Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17, he says, "If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which was indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his." Now, who is the one that determines who the firstborn is? And who is the one that established that principle that there would be a blessing for that one? And what was the reason for it? Well, God here describes the one who is the firstborn as the beginning, being the beginning of a man's strength. And so that was an important God-given position, and with it were associated blessings. So this is all from God. This was not of man's invention. And God, for his people, he established that one of the blessings for the firstborn would be that they would receive a double portion of the inheritance. Now, another part of that blessing would be rulership. Compared to the others that were born into the family. The firstborn would have the double portion of the inheritance and also be the chief ruler among his brethren. We see this in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And he's talking here about what happened with Jacob's son Reuben, who was his firstborn. And it's interesting to see some of the things that happened, as we saw something that had happened to Isaac in his life and the circumstances of his birth, being born of a woman that had been barren, that God had opened her womb, that then Isaac's wife had the same problem, and so he sought the Lord for the same blessing, and God heard that prayer. And so what happened to Isaac's father Abraham with his wife happened to Isaac, his son, with his wife. Well, what happened with Jacob being the younger and being the one that God had chosen for the blessings, and that the birthright became his even though he was not the firstborn, the same thing happened with Jacob's children. Reuben was his firstborn, and so who would have the birthright of Jacob's children? Reuben. But is that the way it worked out in reality? No, it isn't. And he's explaining it here in First Chronicles chapter 5, 1 and 2. We have this situation in the book of Genesis where we read about it, but God is giving explanation of it here. First Chronicles 5, 1 and 2. Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, and of course Israel was the name that God gave to Jacob, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. So we can see the two aspects of the blessings that were reserved for the firstborn. In this case, it was divided among two of Jacob's children. But the firstborn, by birthright, would receive the double portion of the inheritance and also rulership among his brethren. Well, that would have normally been vested in one individual, the firstborn. In the case of Joseph's or Jacob's sons, it was split between two of his sons when it was taken from Reuben. And the double portion of the inheritance went to whom? To Joseph, who also had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, which interestingly, the younger of his sons, God blessed with a greater number of descendants than he did of the firstborn Manasseh. And it was Jacob, the grandfather, that put his hands on them and blessed them accordingly. What had happened to Jacob ended up with his son Reuben. His firstborn lost the birthright, and the double portion of the inheritance went to Joseph. And then Jacob also was there to give God's blessing and prophecy to Joseph's children, and the younger would be greater than his firstborn in that case. But the rulership among Jacob's sons, that the double portion of the inheritance was taken from Reuben, given to Joseph, his two sons, and that was the double portion, Manasseh and Ephraim. But then the rulership was given to Judah, and that was in keeping with God's plans to have Judah to be the royal tribe through whom Christ would come. It's interesting to see all of these different things God is working out and fulfilling his plans through. And Jacob, who receives the blessing and the rulership and the double portion, the greater of the inheritance, receiving Canaan as opposed to what Esau received for his inheritance. And Jacob gets the blessing from his father, and he would see this some similar things take place with his own descendants. So this was a God-given position and blessing. To take this, what God had given to Esau by right of birth, being the firstborn, that he would have the double portion of the inheritance and rulership. What did Esau think of that God-given position and blessing? He thought so little of it, which is what the word despise means, to think nothing of, that he sold it for a bite to eat. That's how little regard he had for what God had given to him. And that's why Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. That would be another price that he was going to pay in this, is that Isaac had a blessing for his sons. Now, God had already spoken concerning his choice of Jacob over Esau, that he was going to make the elder Esau to serve the younger Jacob. And so the birthright, therefore, went to Jacob, which we can understand. But now, was that was that Jacob's fault or was that Esau's fault? Who was the one that sold it? I mean, Jacob was the one that set that. He was the one that had the asking price for the food that that Esau wanted. But what could Esau have said to that offer from Jacob? No, but he didn't. He sold it for that price. Whose fault was that, and who was blamed by God for that? Esau. These were two manner of people. Jacob certainly understood the blessings and the importance of that position, and he valued it. That became his. So this was in keeping with what God's plans were. They were two manner of people. For God to fulfill what he had told Rebekah he was going to do when those two were in his womb, was that going to be able to be fulfilled, that the younger would be the stronger of the two and that the elder would serve the younger? Would that be able to be fulfilled if Esau had maintained his birthright? It really wouldn't have. For God to have fulfilled the promises he had made to Abraham and Isaac, to have that fulfilled through Jacob, Jacob would have to have the birthright to have the greater inheritance, which would be the land of Canaan. I mean, how would that work for Esau to be in Canaan and Jacob to be in the rocks there in the place that in Mount Seir that became Edom's inheritance? I mean, that was not going to be able to follow what God had expressed was his plan in choosing Jacob over Esau for that blessing. So the circumstances would have to come about for the birthright to go to Jacob, even though he was the younger. And the fact that they were two different manner of people, and Esau despised the birthright that Jacob very much valued, would explain how that would come about, and that's how it did come about. But then the blessing was going to be given by Isaac to Jacob. Now, knowing what God had already said about this, was there any way that the blessing that Isaac had for his sons, that the greater of the blessings could have gone to Esau over Jacob for God to still be able to fulfill what he had said? The blessing would have to go to Jacob along with the birthright. Now, did Rebekah understand that? Yes, she did. And Rebekah was prepared for this situation when Isaac was very old and his days on this earth were very numbered. In Genesis 27, 1 through 5, it says that it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called for Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I. And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out of the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die." Now, what we already read before, Rebekah loved Jacob, Isaac loved Esau. Well, Isaac favored his son Esau and intended to give the blessing to him that God had determined that would go to Jacob. So did Rebekah understand the way God had intended this to go? She did, and she was prepared for this situation. Now, was she going to be able to go to Isaac and convince him, "No, God, you really should be giving this to Jacob over Esau"? Well, no, he loved Esau, and he fully was minded to give that to Esau. Who was the one actually in this case? Because it's very easy to look at Rebekah, and a lot of people will condemn Rebekah because she got Jacob to then deceive Isaac into thinking that he was Esau, so he got the blessing from him. A lot of people will be very critical of Rebekah's actions here, but in actuality, she was understanding the choice God made, and she was working in that situation to make God's will come to pass. We also do not need to be assuming that God had not told her exactly what to do in this case to make that come about, because Isaac was determined to give this to Esau, even though God desired this blessing to go to Jacob. And it was going to go to Jacob, and the circumstances were that Rebekah then heard the words that Isaac spoke to Esau, and then in verse 5, she heard what Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it, and Rebekah spake to Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, 'Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So did she just come up with this off the top of her head, or is this something that was a well-organized plan? It's certainly a well-organized plan. This was not. She was anticipating this, and it's very possible that that God had given this direction exactly. But she told him, verse 9, "Now go now to thy flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy son may bless me, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my first son, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, how could that blessing go to Esau by God's plans? There's no way that that could happen. It was God's will that Jacob receive this blessing. For Jacob to have the birthright, but then if Esau was the one that received the fatness of the earth, and that people would serve him and nations bow down to Edom, and that Edom would be lord over his brethren, which would include, of course, obviously, his brother Jacob and Israel, then he would have preeminence. Edom would have preeminence over Israel. And then he said, Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now, would that be for Esau's descendants or Jacob's, the children of Israel? This was God's plan for Israel. We remember what he said in Genesis 25 and verse 23 when he said that to Rebekah. We also remember Hebrews 11 and verse 20 when the Lord had, where it says about these blessings. This wasn't Isaac just coming up with these words and this blessing on his own. Remember Hebrews 11, 20 says, By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. This was, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So what he was giving by, this blessing came by faith, what Isaac heard from God. These were the words of God, what he was foretelling about these two. And this could only go to Jacob. As soon as it happened, then verse 30, as it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said to his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. What does Isaac mean by that? What does he know? This was God's blessing, and it was not going to be reversed. What had been spoken to Jacob and given to him as a blessing was established, and God would bring it to pass. It was God's blessing. Of course, the question would come, why Isaac, knowing all that, why was he so determined to try to give it to Esau? He shouldn't have been, but God made this happen the way he had planned, and it went to Jacob. And what was the result here? And it's to have feelings for Esau in this is very understandable in his reaction. It's when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright now." Is that true? No, Esau sold it. He says, "And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I now do unto thee, my son?" So he understood what this blessing was, and there was going to be nothing to equal that. And Esau said to his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now we remember what he said there in Hebrews 12, that Esau had sought the blessing carefully with tears. But did God receive that plea? And did God give Esau his desire, even though he sought it carefully with tears? By selling his birthright, Hebrews 12 said that he did not receive the blessing, even though he sought it carefully with tears. When he sold his birthright, that meant the blessing would also ultimately go to Jacob, and we can see why. And all the tears in the world weren't going to undo that, and it all had its roots in Esau despising his birthright. He was to blame for this by his own despising of the birthright. Though being a different manner of person in that way, this fulfilled God's will to give this blessing to the one who valued it, to Jacob. And so he gave Esau a blessing, but it was not the one that was given to Jacob. It would not match that one. So we can see how God's choice that God made for Jacob over Esau, and we can also understand the reasons why that he gave there. And of course, this is going to lead to hatred. The very next thing it tells us about how Esau then hated his brother, and Jacob fled for 20 years. They were reunited, and they hugged one another 20 years later. Their descendants were at enmity with each other, as the Edomites hated the Israelites, and they're the roots of it. And we'll have more to look at in our study of this in the days to come, Lord willing. But for now, at this time, if you are here and you're not yet a child of God, this is an opportunity for you to become a Christian by repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a member of the Lord's body, but you've gone astray from him, if you need the prayers of the church or you need repentance, this is an opportunity for you to come also. So if you are subject to the Lord's invitation at this time, please come now while we stand together and sing.